for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Saturday evening service of July the 9th, 1988, tape number 22 of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the teacher of the evening.
Brother Tommy Cook, come and minister to us as the Lord leads you.
Praise the Lord. How many ever felt that people were praying against you? Soulless prayers, witchcraft, psychic prayers, I guess we'd say. This has been a trying week for me all week here in the camp, even though it's been good, glorious. But tonight I sense that thing, and I want us to pray against any spirit, not against an individual, but against any spirit that has come against us. And you know, when you pray for people, you're not to pray against people, you're to pray against those spirits. That's what we do. So don't, a lot of times we pray against people. We should never do that. We should pray against those spirits. So let's lift our voice and pray against soulless prayers tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind all soulless praying against us. We bind those spirits that would come against anyone and everyone in this room, Lord God. We bind the effect. We cut them off. We cut off their assignment in the name of Jesus. You foul devils, in Jesus' name, we take authority over you. We bind you. We break your power. We break their hold over our minds, over our families, and everything that we have in the mighty name of Jesus. And we command those spirits to go in the name of Jesus. We take authority over you. We bind you in Jesus' name. We bind the very effect of your praying in the name of Jesus. We command you and charge you to loose your hold over God's people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for this service tonight. We thank you for your word again, Lord, as we approach it. We approach it reverently. Give us a heart to understand, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah. Turn to Mark chapter 5 tonight. Mark chapter 5. Praise the Lord. How many are glad you got some deliverance today? Amen. Now, let me show you a sure sign of deliverance in your life. Number one, you want to be where Jesus is. Where's Jesus? He's in his body. Number two, you will obey Jesus. And number three, you will be a witness with and for Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I'd like to say you might even start writing your own deliverance books. Well, Mark 5:18. Turn over there a minute. Mark 5:18. It says, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, now notice this, go home. Go home. Hallelujah. Go home. And to thy friends. And tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And hath had compassion on thee. Praise the Lord. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did something. They began to marvel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now look back in verse 18 though. Notice. It said that he prayed him that he might be with him. He wanted to be where Jesus was. And so a person that's delivered, it is a sure sign you've been delivered because you want to be where Jesus is. And you want to be with the body. And don't separate yourself once you get delivered. Amen? Get with those fellow believers that believe like that. Amen? That believe in deliverance. Praise the Lord. How many know this is not a game we're playing? It's a war, as Brother Glenn said today. And let me say something else. Don't separate yourself from the Word of God when it comes to deliverance. You don't just run in always and start delivering people. You've got to teach them the Word of God. Isn't that right? But Jesus said, yes, in believers would cast out devils, but he also said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. By his word, he cast demons out. And that's how we're going to do it. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And so a sure sign that you're being delivered is you want to be where Jesus is. You will obey Jesus. You'll be his witness. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And don't be too quick to lay hands on people. Let me just add that, too. How many know sometimes we run in and lay hands on people too quick? I've been hit by laying hands on certain people. I've been hit in my body physically by laying hands on people when I didn't use wisdom. I've learned a few things over the years. Hallelujah. We need some wisdom, don't we? Praise the Lord. We need three things. We need A, B, C. We need some altitude. We need some balance, and we need some character. Can you say amen? We need the altitude. We need to go high in Jesus and live with a good attitude, too. But we need balance in the Word and in the Spirit, and we need the character, the nature of Jesus within us. If we're going to move out and deliver. Now, we'll go to Luke 10. Look in Luke 10. Let me show you what we have to be careful about if we're going to move into deliverance. Luke chapter 10, one little point right here. Verse 17, Luke 10 and verse 17. Well, notice the scripture. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, and notice what they call him, Lord. He said, no man can call me Lord except they do what I tell him, right? Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Well, we can say that tonight too, can't we? The demons are subject to us through the name of Jesus, through the nature of Jesus, through the authority and the character of Jesus. Verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And so immediately when they come back and they begin to say, Jesus, those devils are subject to us. Jesus said, I saw the devil falling from heaven as lightning. You know how he fell? He fell because of pride. And whatever ministry we have, whether it's deliverance, healing, or whatever ministry we may be involved with, how many know that's something we all have to watch out for? That we don't allow pride to creep in. Come on now, amen? And Jesus was telling them, look out for pride right there, I believe, in that particular verse. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. You can walk right over them. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Don't just rejoice because you have power of the demons. Although we have power of the demons, don't we? But rejoice because your names are written, hallelujah, in the Lamb's Book of Life, or in heaven. Praise the Lord. That's what we better rejoice about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, look in Luke 9. Look in Luke 9 here, verse 49. I believe it is. Once you begin to move in deliverance, how many know that you and I don't know at all? We know a little bit. We need to know more. Praise the Lord, or whatever ministry we have. And right here in verse 49, John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and his name was used before he died. And we forbade him. I mean, Paul said we're not to forbid those who speak with tongues. Same word. We forbade him. We told him, don't do that. Hallelujah. Because he followeth not with us. He's not in our group. He's not in our church. He's not in our denomination or whatever. He didn't have papers with us. Hallelujah. So what? You can't corner the Holy Ghost in one place, can you? And I can't corner the Holy Ghost in one place. Praise the Lord. He doesn't follow us. He's not with us. Jesus said to him, forbid him not. He that is not against us is for us. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't exclude those who's not in your group or my group. Praise the Lord. We're going to get in trouble with Jesus if we do. Now, look over in Acts 16. Let me ask you a question. Will you continue in deliverance when opposition comes? I'm going to tell you, it's going to come. Whatever ministry you have is going to come. Amen? Hallelujah. Acts 16:16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, right in the prayer meeting, the devil's going to show up. I mean, oh, he comes to prayer meetings too. In fact, he'll be there every time, I guarantee you. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. And we know she was a fortune teller, and she had a demon called Python. Metis, which brought her masters much gain by, of course, soothsaying, fortune telling, the same followed Paul, notice that, and us, and cried, saying, hallelujah. Maybe somebody's following you. Might be a spirit in a person. Amen? How many know that we need to cut off those who want to just follow us? Do you know there are people who want to just follow ministers across the country? We need to recognize that and let them know they're not my disciples or our disciples. They're his disciples. Come on now. The same followed Paul and us cried saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. How many know they were doing that? But who wants the devil to testify for you? Verse 18. This she did many days. Many days. Now, if that had been us, we'd probably have jumped on it just when we first heard it, if we'd discerned anything. But Paul, being grieved or disturbed, turned and said to the spirit, to the demon, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ. How many know a lot of people use Jesus' name and nothing happens? Amen? Hallelujah. But something happened here. I command thee in the name and the nature, the authority, the character of the name of Jesus to come out of her. And notice he came out the same hour. He came out. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they're going to lose their money now. The demon's gone. The fortune teller's spirit is gone. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace of the rulers and brought them to the magistrates saying, these men. Now, here's the opposition. Yes, it was from sinners. Hallelujah. How many know that there are people out there who need to get saved and delivered too out in that world? These men are Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. No, they didn't. Praise God. They brought the kingdom to that city. Amen. They exceedingly trouble our city. Hallelujah. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. You know, when the disciples first got, after Pentecost, after Jesus died and the Spirit came, how many know they were accused of something? You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Boy, it'd be good if we'd get accused of that, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. And right here, it says here, notice, these men do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful. It's against our law for us to receive, neither observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, against Paul and Silas. It's not too popular, is it? Ministry. And the magistrates rent their clothes, commanded to beat them. And of course, they put stripes upon them. We know the story, and put them in stocks. But at midnight, they prayed and sang and so forth. Now, turn over just a minute to another scripture with that. Turn over to Luke 8. Luke 8. Let's see the opposition here of this ministry. Hallelujah. Luke 8. And look at verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done. This is the people where Jesus cast the spirits out of the man of Gadara. And came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Now, notice this. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's another sign of a person being delivered, isn't it? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Clothed, number two, he's clothed. He's got his clothes on, thank God. He's not going to rip them off again and be naked and have to show that old ugly spirit. Amen? That unclean spirit. And in his right mind. How many know we all need our right mind? How are you going to get your right mind? Get some of those devils out of you. And they, the people, were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Now notice verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Praise the Lord. So the whole multitude asked him to leave the coast. Amen. Now, you're talking about dwelling on this side of Jordan that Brother Jerry taught this morning. And, of course, part of that people was the Gadites or the tribe of Gad. And see how low they had sunk? They were tending the swine. And in the Old Testament, there's an unclean animal. Amen? Hallelujah. And yet Jesus comes and delivers this man, and then the multitude rises up and says, leave, we don't want you here. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, deliverance is not popular. Amen? Especially in the church, we know that. Now, turn over to Acts 19. Let me ask you a question. You may say, well, I have a deliverance ministry. Does the demons know you? Hallelujah. They know those who are a threat to them. Come on now. Acts 19:11. Let's start there. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, extraordinary miracles, so that from his body were brought to the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. I want you to notice, diseases and evil spirits go hand in hand. Evil spirits bring diseases in the body. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. We're going to do what Paul did. We're going to adjure you, devils, just like Paul did. Well, you better know somebody if you're going to do that. You better have somebody in you. Come on, say amen. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So we need to know who we are. We need to know Jesus, and we better make sure we have Jesus in us, and we're moving in his authority, not in our authority, or in our power. Come on, somebody say amen. We're not trying to scare you. He said, in my name, believers would cast out devils. We need to know who we are. We need to know that we have Jesus in us, and that we're moving in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Let me know, there are people who want you to do things sometimes because they have a revelation. They have a revelation of a person needs help, and they want you to come and help them. Well, it's time for them to get busy and do it. Amen? Too many times we want to grab somebody and say, go with me, let's do it. Well, maybe that other person doesn't have a revelation. They don't have a burden to do what you want them to do. We can drag people into something. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's be careful about that. Now, look in Mark chapter 1 just a minute. I said, do the demons know us? Look in Mark 1. Oh, hallelujah. I remember one night Bill and I went to Nebraska and I preached the book of Mark on deliverance. The next day we knew the devil raised his head. I want to tell you. So it don't take too long, does it, Blanche? In Mark chapter 1, look at verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, Jesus and the disciples, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught right in the church house. And they were astonished at his teaching or doctrine, for he taught them as one that had something. He had authority, not as the scribe. Jesus spoke with authority, didn't he? And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? He knew who he was. He knew where he was from. Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus, notice, rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Shut your mouth and come out. Hallelujah. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Now look at verse 27. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? Most of the church today will say that. You know that? They have never seen deliverance. The church, because this is a rotten church, the church. What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? What new teaching is this? Here it is now. For with authority, now he spoke with authority, he taught with authority. Now it says, for with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Hallelujah. And they will obey us in the name of Jesus as we move in authority and in the nature and the character of the Lamb, of Jesus' name. Can you say amen? And verse 39, notice what it says here. And he preached where? In their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and he cast out devils everywhere he went. Right in the synagogues, right in the church house, Jesus cast out devils. Hallelujah. Now, turn to Matthew 10. How many know we got to look out for unbelief? Praise the Lord.
You may be on top of it today, but how many know tomorrow might be another day? You may be on the mountaintop today, but tomorrow might seem like you're in the valley. Well, how many know you still got to have some faith in the valley? Amen. Matthew 10:1. Praise the Lord. In fact, let me tell you, let's look at verse 1. Let's look at several scriptures here. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, first thing he did, he called them. How many know everyone in this room is called by the Lord? Into some type of ministry. He called you. He's got your phone number. He knows your address. You know, he knows where you're at. And the Spirit comes to you. He calls you for a particular task, a particular ministry. He called unto him. Notice, to him. There's a calling unto Jesus. Amen. There's a setting apart unto Jesus. There's a sanctification unto him. His 12 disciples, 12 is the number of government. And we need to learn government. He gave them what? Power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Notice, with the deliverance ministry comes the healing ministry. Too many times we try to lay hands on people and get them healed without getting them delivered. But they work together, don't they? Now, notice in verse 5, Jesus sent them forth. Of course, particular ministry, verse 7 rather. As you go, he said, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the kingdom was within, he was telling them, preach the kingdom which was within the people's reach, within your reach. Heaven is at hand, praise the Lord. Now here, notice verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give, praise the Lord. Now he's talking to the apostles here. So there was a calling, there was a sanctification. They were called actually disciples in verse 1, which means one who is a learner, one who's under God's discipline. They had the power. He gave them the power to do this. They were apostles or sent ones. They were commissioned where to go, and he equipped them to do it. And God calls you into a ministry or commissions you into a ministry, he will equip you for that ministry. Can you hear me? Now notice it said he gave them power against unclean spirits. Chapter 17. Chapter 17 of the book of Matthew. We got a problem here, don't we, in chapter 17. We got three on top of the mountain and we got nine at the bottom. Hallelujah. Let me say it this way. There is a remnant on top. They have a revelation. How many know that revelation in that remnant is going to bring restoration? Are you hearing me? There are three on top and nine on the bottom. There are three with Jesus on the mountain, nine at the bottom, that cannot cast a demon out of a person. I said they cannot. They were given power, though. Isn't that right? Look in verse 19. 19. Here's a lunatic. Hallelujah. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, and so forth. You can read the rest of it. But look at verse 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and, come on, fasting. Praise the Lord. So three were on top of Jesus, nine at the bottom, and they could not deliver that one because of unbelief. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we are facing the seventh day, aren't we? And right here in verse chapter 17, verse 1, after 6 days, what comes after six? Seven. Seven. And we're approaching the seventh day from Adam. Praise God, there is a people that's going to the top with Jesus. Amen. There is a remnant, hallelujah, that's going to have a revelation of Jesus. And by that revelation, they're going to be able to restore. Praise the Lord. Now, turn over to Samuel. We got to keep the devils out once we get them out. I appreciate these deliverance ministries, don't you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 1 Samuel 16. I've always believed in deliverance. I've just never done a whole lot of it, but I remember 20-some years ago it came through the land and strong, and then it kind of went down. But praise God, it's reviving again, isn't it? 1 Samuel 16. You know, there are people who don't like me to come here because of deliverance, but I can't help it. I like to come here, regardless of whether they like it or not. Yeah, amen. 1 Samuel 16:18. That's truth, though. I'm telling you the truth. 1 Samuel 16:18. Notice something first. It said, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Now look at this. Six things that is cunning and playing. Number one. Number two, he's a mighty, valiant man. We need some Gideons, don't we? Number three, he's a man of war. Praise the Lord. If you're going to be a valiant man, you're going to be a man of war. And four, he's prudent, which means he's eloquent, intelligent. He perceives, he understands, he's wise. And notice, he's prudent in matters. And last of all, and comely, that means beautiful or attractive person. And the Lord, hallelujah, is with him. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, he had all that, those qualifications because God was in him and with him. Amen? Now, look in verse 22. And Saul sent to Jesse, that's David's father, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. Now, let me stop here a minute. Saul is a type of the old religious order, the flesh order. Order of the flesh, the old mind, so forth. Now, the order will permit some deliverance and some worship. But when you go out and take five stones and kill a giant, I mean, oh, he's going to get riled up. Because those five stones represent the apostles, come on, the prophets, the teachers, the shepherds, and the evangelists. And it represents faith, it represents, you know, a lot of things. And so when you start slaying the giants, I want to tell you, Saul gets angry. Amen? Now look in verse 23. It came to pass when the evil spirit from God, and I'm not going to change the wording, was upon Saul that David took a harp, this man that was cunning and playing, this valiant man, this man of war, this prudent man, this one that was comely and that the Lord was with, hallelujah. He took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed. I mean, some of us need to be refreshed and well. Nobody laid hands on him here, praise the Lord. Now, we believe in laying on of hands. But I long to see the time when people are healed without anybody touching them. I long to see people delivered when nobody touches them. Hallelujah. Only the Holy Ghost touches them. But until that happens, we have to lay hands on people. And was well, and the evil spirit departed from him, went away from him. David played, that demon couldn't stay. Am I right? Hallelujah. Now, look in chapter 18. Yes, yes it does. Praise and worship drives it away. Look in chapter 18, verse 6. Hallelujah. And it's verse 6, and it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets and joy and instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousand, and David his 10,000, and Saul had a heart attack. He couldn't take it. You know, there is jealousy in the church. You read Ezekiel 8, you'll see that seed of jealousy was the first thing he saw when he came in that temple. The very thing he saw right in the minds of those ancient or those elder ministers or priests, he saw the spirit of jealousy ministering to their minds. Are you hearing me? And so here, in verse 8, Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have described to David 10,000, and to me they ascribed the thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? Now look at verse 9. And Saul eyed or envied David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow, the next day. Don't take very long, does it? I like what Blanche said today. I believe it's Blanche. It said, if you miss it, if you get angry, you know, repent immediately. And that's for me, too. Preachers get mad, too. Came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. I want you to notice, this spirit's back on Saul, but what's he doing? He's prophesying by a demon. And David played with his hand as at other times, and this time there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and he tried to nail David to the wall, and David got out of his presence. I mean, no, if you try to nail somebody to your wall, you'll be nailed to a wall. The wall's the system. And when he tried to nail David to his wall, you know when he died? They nailed him to a wall. Hallelujah. But that spirit can't have that spirit come back in. Through jealousy, through rage, through hate, through that lying devil, and murder. It was all right in there, wasn't it? It all came in. Now look in chapter 19. Jonathan's got a good idea. He's going to get them back together. You can't get the old order and new order together. You can't get them together. People are trying to do it, that you can't do it. Look in chapter 19, verse 6. And Saul hearkened to the voice of Jonathan. And Saul swears, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. He's saying, no, I won't kill him. How many know that old order will lie too? And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past, and there was war again. Amen. And then in verse 9, the evil spirit there was upon Saul, and as David played, and again, he tries to kill David again with a javelin. You cannot get that old order and that new order together. Come on, somebody, say amen.
Amen.
You can't do it. Now, turn over to 2 Samuel a minute. Praise the Lord, if I can find that scripture. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. How many know we can let the guard down right easy? I said we. 2 Samuel 11. And one of the greatest dangers of losing your deliverance or my deliverance is being passive. Are you hearing me? Now, one time there was a prophet. God told him, he said, I don't want you to go, when you go to this certain place, when you come back, I want you to take another road. I don't want you to eat or drink with anybody. Remember that? And that young prophet obeyed God, and there were miracles, there were signs of kingly stuff that grabbed him, and his arm was withered, and the prophet restored his arm and so forth. He wanted to give him, a gift, and he wouldn't take it. And he said, come home with me, and I'll, give you food and water, whatever. And he denied him. He passed the test. But then there was an old prophet heard about that, and that old prophet, he sent his son, he went to where the young man was, and the Bible said that he lied to him, and the old prophet told the young prophet, an angel told me to tell you to come home with me. Now, he passed the first test. He wouldn't disobey God. He wouldn't go home and have anything to eat or drink. But this old prophet moved him on a level with that prophet, didn't he? That prophet was used to probably having visions, maybe angel visitations, whatever. And yet here comes an old prophet, and he said, an angel appeared to me, and he told me to tell you. I mean, once God tells you something, you better stick with it. Don't care if an angel told somebody else or not, you better stick if you know it's God speaking to you. Amen? But he approached him on a level that he was accustomed to, and that's how he deceived him. He came back home with him. And right at the table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet. He prophesied the man's death, and he left him, and he died. A lion killed him. Amen? I mean, old deception's coming in high rounds in this hour.
Right.
And who are they coming for first? They're coming for ministry, to deceive the ministries. And if they can deceive the ministries, how many know they're going to surely deceive a lot of the people? Come on now. Here in chapter 11, verse 1, it came to pass after the year was expired. Notice, the year was expired, coming to an end of the year. What do we do at the end of the year most time in America? We celebrate the word Christmas. Amen? How many old people relax and have a good time and all that stuff here in America, right? And travel and, we'd say vacation time, whatever. It's awful easy to get passive when you're in that state, isn't it? You can let the guard down. So right here at the end of the year, When it was expired, David's going to let the guard down. At that time, when kings go to battle, how many know he's raising up some kings and priests, or a kingdom of priests? When kings go to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, that's incest, isn't it? And besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. He stayed behind. He didn't go into the battle. And it came to pass at evening tide, and that's where we are today. At the time of evening, when darkness is coming on. Hallelujah. That David arose from off his bed. Now that was a natural sleep, but it's also a type of passivity. Being at ease in Zion. He's not in the battle, he's back home on the bed. Amen? The battle or the bed, that'd be a good message, wouldn't it? That David arose from off his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. Well, how many know that's the place of prayer, the house, housetop? Hallelujah. The roof of the king's house, that's where Peter was, wasn't he, when he had a vision? He was praying, waiting on a meal. Somebody said God caught him between meals. But he had a vision. He had a vision. But he was on the roof of the king's house. And he saw a woman. Now, you can believe what you want to, but I believe this is a setup from the devil. I believe that he is a target of Satan. Leadership is coming under attack right here. Hallelujah. He's not in the battle. He's back home. He's been sleeping. He's resting. He's at ease, a type of being passive or at ease. And he sees a woman washing herself, and she was very beautiful. And you'll notice it says in verse 4 that David sent messengers, and what? He took her. He took her. Eve saw the fruit, didn't she? Huh? She took the fruit and she ate of it, didn't she? Achan saw the Babylonish garment and the gold and silver and all that, and he saw it and he took it and hid it in his tent. And David saw her and took her. Well, you know the rest of the story. Watch out for passivity. Amen? It's real. It's real. Praise the Lord. Don't get too relaxed. Now, turn to another scripture with me here. Turn to Acts 8. We said a while ago, we got to keep the enemy out. We talked about David delivering Saul, and then because of jealousy, the thing came right back in. And finally, it led him to a witch, didn't it? It led him into the occult. Acts 8, 11. It says here, and to him, this is Simeon, or Simon, they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them, the people, Samaria, with sorceries. But when, how many know sorcery is connected with Jezebel? And again, there's a Jezebel in the land. Amen? And we need to recognize that. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself did something. He believed also. Now, there are people say that Simon was never saved. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said he believed also. I believe he was saved. I believe he believed on Jesus right there. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs that were done. And, of course, then they sent Peter and John to come down. Verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them some money, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. That same spirit that exalted him before came back into him again. Or maybe it's never cast out, I should say. But it was there. Amen? It was there still yet. Praise the Lord. He wanted to buy the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 20. And Peter said to him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Praise the Lord. Now that gift was the gift of those who could lay hands on others to receive the Holy Ghost. Did you hear me? Verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness. Notice what he tells him. And pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Thank you, Lord. Then answered Simon and said, pray you to the Lord for me that now speak. Peter said, pray for yourself. Hallelujah. I mean, it's time that we pray for ourselves. It's time that we repent. It's time that we get out of bed with God ourselves. Can you say amen? Now, turn over a minute to two scriptures. How many know that Peter says right here, he said, you're in the bond of iniquity. Turn to Ezekiel 21. Holy Ghost just spoke to me. Ezekiel 21:25. Oh, brethren, look at this scripture now. 21:25. Listen to what God says to his people here. And thou, profane, wicked prince of Israel. Are we up against princes tonight? Sure we are. Prince of Persia. Somebody mentioned that yesterday or so. And recently somebody was praying for me against the prince of Persia. I don't know who it was recently, but that came back as they mentioned it yesterday. And thou, profane, wicked prince of Israel. Now, Israel, of course, there's natural Israel, but there's also spiritual Israel in there. Notice, prince of Israel, let me know there are princes assigned against the church, whose day is come. Notice that whose day is come. Hallelujah. I believe that prince and those princes' days are coming. They don't be dealt with. When iniquity or lawlessness shall have an end. And that's in me. God is going to bring iniquity in you and me to an end if we're sincere with God. But we have to be sincere. We have to deal with that rebellion, don't we? We're dealing with witchcraft, aren't we? Now, look in verse 29. While as they see vanity unto thee, while as they divine a lie unto thee, to bring thee upon the necks of them that are slain of the wicked, whose day is come when their iniquity shall have an end. Hallelujah. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. I want to contrast that. Iniquity shall have an end. Turn to Luke 1:23. Let me give you a good scripture here now. Oh, hallelujah. You can take your pick. You can take your choice. I can too. Luke 1:33. Praise the Lord. And he shall reign over, speaking of Jesus, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. There's going to be an end to iniquity, but not to his kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah. One kingdom coming to an end, but there's one kingdom that will never come to an end. That's the kingdom. And Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom has come unto you. Amen? Now turn to Deuteronomy 23. Let me give you another scripture. He spoke to me a while ago. Deuteronomy 23. Praise you, Jesus. How do you want a clean camp? We have to desire that, and we have to work at that and call on God to deliver us. 23:14, for the Lord thy God walketh. God's a spirit, isn't he? How many know he's walking, though? The Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp. He walked here today, didn't he? He walked among this camp today. Hallelujah. In fact, all week he's been walking among us. He does it one way one day and another way another day. You can't live tomorrow what you had today. You got to go on for, you know, God's going to do something different. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee. Or, notice, and to give up thine enemies. Or it means, and to defeat your enemies before you. God comes in your camp and my camp to defeat your enemies and my enemies. Now notice. Therefore, because God comes in our camp and God brings deliverance to us, notice what he says, shall thy camp be holy. And I want to tell you, you can't be holy without deliverance. Don't try it. You can't be. I mean, we can cry out for God to come in and bring his holiness, but without deliverance, we'll not be holy. Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 7:1, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, or spirit and flesh, amen, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. Obadiah said that upon Mount Zion shall be holiness and deliverance. You can't separate them. And so right here, he comes in the midst of the camp to deliver you and me, to give up our enemies or defeat them. Now listen to what he says. Therefore shall thy camp be holy. That's a command. That's not an option. That he see no unclean thing in thee. And if he sees an unclean thing, notice what it says, and turn away from thee. What does that mean? That means you lose the anointing and the blessing of God. And the enemy comes right back in you. Are you hearing me? That is a command to you and a command to me. Amen? To be holy. Keep our camp holy. that he turned not away from thee. Can I tell you something? God has turned from many. Many churches, many individuals, because their love is for the world more than Jesus. Amen? Many women who have once known Jesus, who have walked in the Spirit at one time, but they have not maintained holiness in the sight of God. Amen? Amen. I heard a man, and Linda could tell this better than I could. I heard a man the other day, and this man was preaching on holiness. I really enjoyed it. He's a young minister. And I believe he just walked out of his house in that area, and all of a sudden there was no grass, no trees, no nothing. And there were two angels there, and they told him they were the angels that had visited Sodom and Gomorrah. And the death of the little ones had come up before God, and they come to see if it was true. And they said that, you know, that judgments were coming upon the land. I'll tell you, abortion is bringing the judgment of God on the land. I want to say something else tonight. She mentioned Moses today. You know, Moses, of course, he killed that Egyptian. And really, in one sense, he was saying, look at me. Look who I am. But really, when he came back after 40 years, he said, God, you know, who am I? And God, and he, really, he thought he was somebody. But God, and then God made him a nobody. And then God took a nobody and made somebody out of him. Now, in the day of Moses, they were killing baby boys. In the day of Jesus, they were killing baby boys. But in this hour, they're killing baby boys and girls. Amen. They wanted to stop the deliverer in Moses' day, of course, when our Lord came, and they want to stop him today. And in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female for those who walk in the Spirit. Amen? And so that cry of judgment is coming up before God. I'll tell you that tonight. Amen. And so God is saying something here. Now, in Leviticus 26:10, I want to read the scripture. You can look in the King James, but I got it out of the Amplified. Listen to what it says. And you shall eat the abundant old store, you shall eat the abundant old store of produce long kept, and clear out the old to make room for the new. Did you hear that? I'm going to read it again. And you shall eat the abundant old store of produce long kept, and clear out the old to make room for the new. We've all ate the old, haven't we? We've all partook of the old order, most of us in this room. But now, how many know it's time to clear out the old to make room for the new order? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And so God's walking in the midst of our camp. He wants it to be holy, that he turn not away from us. Amen. Praise be unto his name. Hallelujah. Now, turn to, let me just say this. Let me give you five things we need to do real quickly here in closing. I could go on. I got so much. Let me give this to you. Number one. You've got to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Turn over to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms 51. Psalms 51. And that's a message in itself, but let's just look at it. I preached it before. Psalms 51, verse 18. David said, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Notice Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Now, how many know there's a natural Jerusalem tonight? But then there's the church that's Jerusalem. But let me tell you what. You know that? Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. Outer court speaks of Israel. The holy place speaks of Jerusalem. And the holy of holies speaks of our spirit, of course. But that Jerusalem speaks of the soul. And he's saying, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. You better build some walls. I better build some walls over our soul. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. That means you put on the helmet of salvation. That means you study the Word of God. That means you and I resist the devil. We pray in the Spirit. Amen. We forgive others. Look in Proverbs just a minute. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. If you want a good scripture on studying on the soul, read Psalms 55. All of it. And you'll see what David was up against and how he got out of it. Proverbs 16, notice verse 32. He that's slow to anger, that anger and that fear opens us up to the demons. It opens your emotions up. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit, not your husband or your daughters. He that ruleth his spirit than he that can what? Take a city. I want you to notice that. He said if you can be slow to anger and conquer yourself and rule your heart, you're greater than someone that can conquer a city. I mean, those cities, some cities have walls around them. Now, turn over to chapter 25. Look at this scripture in particular. Chapter 25. And look at verses 28. He that hath no rule, no control over his own spirit. Again, my spirit. I'm responsible. Is like a city that is broken down and without what? Walls. I mean, when the walls are down, the demons are coming. They're coming and going. When the walls are down around you and I, the demons come in. Hallelujah. Now, so we got to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Now, second, we got to build up that hedge, which is the same thing. Turn over to Ecclesiastes just a minute. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Of course, this speaks of intercession, and I won't go into that because I think most of us heard a lot of teaching on that. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and look at verse. Well, let's look at verse 1, then we'll go to verse 10, then we'll go to verse 20. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1. Dead flies. I mean, old Satan is the, it tells you about, the God of flies, the Lord of flies. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary, the perfumer, to send forth a stinking savor. So doeth a little folly him that is a reputation for wisdom and honor. And so the Beelzebub, he wants to get into that which smells good, doesn't he? I mean, how many's ever seen a great move of God and all of a sudden Beelzebub got in a rut in the midst of it? There was no discernment, and the thing, maybe it was a great revival or something, and the thing was tore up, you see. Our God began to bless and move in a church, and all of a sudden here comes the enemy. Right in. He gets right in there and brings his stench. Now look down to verse 8. I'm not glorifying the devil. I'm just saying what can happen. Verse 8. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. But whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. If a hedge is broken, he said, a serpent will bite him. How many know it takes a while to build a hedge up in the natural? That's that wall of protection. Amen? And if there's a crack in it, if there's a break in it, the enemy's going to cut serpents coming right in, isn't he? Huh? Amen? Now, let me show you protection. Turn to Zechariah 2 just a second. Zechariah 2. You know, in the Old Testament, I've said this before here, but I'm going to say it again. There was a woman in Genesis. There's a woman in Revelation. There's a tree of life in Genesis, a tree of life in Revelation, right? There's a river in Genesis. There's a river in Revelation, and so forth and so on. But there's something that you didn't see in Genesis, you see in Revelation. In Revelation, there was a wall around the city. We need, again, to build the wall of Jerusalem. Amen? We need to build up a hedge. Zechariah 2, are you there? Okay. Chapter 2. Praise the Lord. I am too, if I'm finding the scripture. Which verse? Chapter 2. Zechariah 2. Yes, thank you. For I saith the Lord will be unto her, that's Jerusalem, a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. God said, I'll put my glory as a wall around her. Amen? Praise the Lord. Go back to Ecclesiastes. Look at one more scripture there now. Look in verse 20. Look in verse 20. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes. How many know we've got to watch what we say? I said we've got to watch what we say. Chapter 10, verse 20. Of Ecclesiastes. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thoughts. How many ever has to fight blasphemy thoughts? Sure you do. And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. I mean, that's the place, should be the place of intercession. For a bird, which is a type of the demon of the air, Satan's the principality of the air, shall carry the what? The voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. So watch what you say. Amen. These demons will carry your voice and my voice. Praise the Lord. In fact, we got to be careful. As Blanche said today, once people get delivered of things, we need to keep our mouth shut and don't tell everybody what they're delivered of. We can hurt people, can't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, turn over to Acts 20. You've got to build up the walls of Jerusalem. You've got to build up the heads. You've got to be built up by the Word. Acts 20. Thank God for the Word of God. Acts 20, 28 through 32. 28 through 32. Just a few more scriptures now. Take heed, a warning to the church. Therefore, unto yourselves, elders, shepherds, bishops, overseers, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. I want you to notice that. Holy Ghost has to make us overseers to feed the shepherd of the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood, for I know this. How did he know it? By revelation. Paul did. That after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, right among the church, right among the eldership, right among the church, not sparing the flock. These are savage wolves coming in the church. Next verse. Listen to what he says to the elders. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. That's perversion, isn't it? How many know we can pervert the Word of God? And number two, look at this. To draw, and that means to drag away disciples after them. They want men to follow them. Look out for that. You better follow Jesus. Come on, say amen. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. Paul's leaving. Paul knows this is going to happen. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to what? Build you up, if you allow it. And give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. That's those holy ones. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, turn over to Jude. You got to pray much on the Holy Ghost. Jude 20. Ever get up and don't feel like you want to pray? I know you got to rebuke that thing. And sometimes you have trouble because people hinder you from praying too. You may have to go all by yourself a little bit. Jude 20. But you can pray working though, can't you? You can pray whatever you're doing. Jude 20, I believe it is. Notice what it says here. Hallelujah. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on, notice, on your most holy faith. It didn't say it gave you faith. It says you pray on your most holy faith. You stimulate that faith that's already in there, don't you? By praying. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Look at verse 21. Keep yourself in the love of God. How are you going to do it? By praying in the Spirit. Amen. And loving Jesus. And lastly, the last building up, of course, we got to build on the rock. Matthew 7 talks about those who hear the word and those that do the word. And he said, when the storms come, if you're on that rock, if you built on that rock, you dig deep, you've laid the foundation on the rock. Who's the rock? Christ. Christ is the rock, the anointed one. If your life is built on that anointed one, hallelujah, then I want to tell you something. The storms will come. Yes, they'll come. But you'll not fall. Amen? And you'll not be driven out to sea. Praise the Lord. With that, I want to tell you four things. The last point, when you build on the rock, the Word of God's got to come first place in your life. It's got to be first. It's got to be first. Number two, you've got to meditate on the Word. Turn over one other scripture. I will give you one more. In Joshua chapter 1, and this will be probably the last scripture I'll give you. Joshua chapter 1. It's important that we see this. Maybe you know it already, but that's all right. I know a lot of scriptures, but I'd like to go back and look at them. Joshua 1, verse 8. Notice what it says. This book of the law shall not depart out of, number one, your mouth. Well, if it's in the mouth, it's got to be in the heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. And thou shalt, number two, meditate therein day and night. You got to think about it. Not enough just to read a scripture. You've got to think on it. Meditate on it. If thou mayest observe to do, that means to practice, put in practice, according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What's the last part of that in the Amplified? Is it you'll be able to deal wise in the affairs of life? Do you know? In Joshua 1:8, that last part of verse 8. Joshua 1:8. Hallelujah. Listen at it now.
May observe and do according to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
And then you shall deal wisely and have good success.
Deal wisely and have good success. Praise the Lord. All right. So let me say it again this way. Number one, you've got to have it in your mouth, right? You've got to speak it. Number two, you've got to think it. And number three, you've got to do it. And number four, you'll be something. You'll be prosperous, and you'll have good success if you do the first three. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we've got to put the Word of God first. We've got to meditate on it. We've got to practice it. And listen, lastly, we've got to learn to instantly obey the voice of our spirit. Are you hearing me? How many know you've got a voice inside you? And sometimes that little voice says, turn left, and you want to go right. You better turn left. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes the Holy Ghost speaks to you like he did Peter on the housetop and said, three men's looking for you. Go with them, doubting nothing. He went right down and went with them, didn't he? And then sometimes there's that audible voice that it's just almost like somebody behind you speaks, and it's the voice, the booming voice of God speaking within you. Amen. And I want to say again, if you need direction from God, you need the Word of God on it, you need the Holy Spirit on it, and you need circumstances to work out. You get them all three lined up, that's what one brother said one time, then it's time to move. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you tonight, again, for this campground. And we thank you, Lord, for those that have been ministered to this weekend, this week and this weekend. We thank you, Lord, for those that who minister in deliverance. We thank you, and we all should be involved because we're believers. But I know there are some that have a greater ministry in that probably than others. But I thank you, Lord, for all that will minister deliverance that's in this building tonight. And, Lord, give us wisdom when we go out from here. That, Lord, we cannot just run out in our own strength. That we cannot make people get delivered. It must be by the Holy Ghost. So give us wisdom, Lord, and use your people that's here tonight, I pray. And we bless them. We bless, again, the campground. We bless the ministries here, Brother and Sister Miller. We bless all the ministries, Brother Garner and Sister Blanche and Sister Linda, Brother Bill, and all that's been here, Brother Jack and Brother Pittman, and all that's been involved, Lord, in ministry, Brother and Sister Miller and the Moody's. We thank you for every one of them, Father, tonight. And we bless them. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Brother Glenn, I'll turn it back to you tonight. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.